My Lord, what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is a plumb pleasure to have you this morning tuning in to the Situation Room. It's always a joy to be in the Situation Room, because it's always something good that's gonna happen in the Situation Room. Because we're going to take whatever the situation is, and we're going to apply the Bible to it. How many of you know the Bible has everything that we need? The Bible got it all. Everything that we need, the answers that we need, are found in the Bible. All the answers to life problem. If you want to live a good and godly life, you can do that if you got a Bible. All you need is a Bible. You need a Bible. And when you got the Bible and you got the Holy Ghost, because you're going to have the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the one that's going to interpret the Bible for you. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the one. Matter of fact, the Holy Ghost is my teacher. The reason I'm able to teach you is because the Holy Ghost is the teacher. See, if I hadn't got with the teacher here, if the teacher don't show up on this program this morning, and you know who the teacher is, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost don't show up, then I'm just blowing hot air. It was just 30 minutes of hot air. But if the Holy Ghost shows up, you're going to get the information that you need to transform your life. And you are aware, we're just not here just trying to give you information. We're giving you information for transformation. We're trying to help you in transforming your life. We want your life to be different. We want you to be changed, that you can be the person that God is calling you to be. All right, and today now in the Situation Room, this is where we deal with marriage questions and answers. Marriage questions and answers. And we got some good marriage questions today. But before we get to that, let me give you some contact information. Just in case you have a marriage question or Bible question or question pertaining to the Christian life, you can email them in at email them at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can phone them in and leave them on the voicemail at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. 3766, and we'll get them on hopefully the following week. All right, let me get my Bible and let's get the questions this morning. All right, first question. My future husband is Methodist and I'm Baptist. He like his church and I like my church. Uh-oh. His church seemed to lack the spirit. Do I have to attend his church once we get married? Oh, what a question. All right, let me read it again to make sure we got it down. My future husband, okay, so y'all engage. My future husband, he's Methodist. He's in the Methodist denomination. And I'm Baptist. All right, so you're a woman and you're in the Baptist denomination. All right. He like his church and I like my church. So he like his Methodist church and you like your Baptist church. All right. We got that down. His church, which is the Methodist church, seems to lack the spirit. All right. Do I have to attend his church once we get married? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right. Bless your heart. Well, I'm glad you done found you a man that you believe that God wants y'all to be husband and wife. All right, I'm glad about that. Congratulations. But I see a couple of problems. I see a couple of problems when I examine this question. Yeah, I see a couple of problems here. The first problem I see is in the area of worship. I see that there's a problem in this area. My sister, your problem is you are struggling. You are struggling right now in the area of worship. You say that your future husband church seemed to lack the spirit. And I think I know what you mean when you say lack the spirit, because I was raised in a Methodist church, and most Methodist churches are not emotional. They got the spirit. A lot of them got this, but they're not emotional because they follow a written script in their order of service. And see, the scripture teaches us to do things decently and in order, so there's nothing wrong with that. They have a lot of hymns, or they sing a lot of hymns out of the hymn book, and they do a lot of reading. You know, they have responsive readings, and they have Bible reading. They'll read the Ten Commandments, you know, the Decalogue, or they'll do the summary of the Decalogue. You know, the two great commandments. And so they follow, you know, a written order of program, to the T. Now, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, the Baptist church, even though there is an order of service, it's not so much tied to the script. It's not so much the Baptist, they can kind of get off the order of service and stuff. That in the Methodist church, they like to go by the script. And in the Baptist churches, they sing more contemporary songs, and they tend to be a little bit more emotional. See, I know, because I was raised Methodist, and right now I'm in, you know, a Baptist church. And so I done been on both sides of the fence, so to speak. But I'm concerned about you, my sister, because your focus is on you rather than the Lord. Oh, my sister. But I think we can help you this morning if you'll hear me out. See, real worship is about you surrendering your all to the Lord. That's what real worship is about. It's about bowing down to the Lord because he's worthy to be praised. See, you're bound down shows that you are surrendering your heart, your mind, your soul, and you're saying to the Lord, I'm at your personal service. Have your way in my life, Lord. That's what you're saying. See, it's like a person bound down at the feet of a great king and you're kissing his feet. Because what you're really saying, I'm willing to kiss the ground that you even walk on. I love you so much. That's what real worship is. See, worship is other person centered. It's not self centered. See, true worship is not about getting what you want, but it's giving God what He wants. Do you follow me this morning? See, the problem with most church service, they are not really worship service, but they are. Oh, for lack of better words, they are a big show. It's a big show in a lot of churches. It's a big show of entertainment. And the better the entertainment, the better the worship. But that's not worship. But that's what many people call worship. They call it, you know, praise and worship. You know, they call it. You know, we're going to have the praise and worship service. And that's where a lot of times your praise team come out there and they kind of pump up the church and stuff. And it's almost like a big pep rally or something. But that's not real worship. See, many people, they get into church hopping, trying to find a church that's going to meet their need and going to, you know, where they can, you know, really feel good. And they call that feeling the spirit. But what they don't realize, they done got into self-worship, not true God worship. Stay with me this morning, sister. Stay with me. I'm trying to answer your question. And see, when you get into self-worship, you're going to end up with a mixed up and a messed up life. That's what's going to happen when you get into self-worship. Do you remember this lady? In John chapter 4. Matter of fact, let me just go over that to John chapter 4. Jesus met a woman at the well in John chapter 4. And this woman now, she had been married 5 times. And she was shacking up with the man that she was staying with now. So this was the 6th man in her life. And then Jesus asked her to go get your husband. And the woman said, I don't have no husband. Jesus says, you have spoken the truth because you done been married 5 times. And the man you stand with now is not your husband. And then notice this lady say something in verse number 19 and 20. Let me read it. It said, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Notice, they went from talking about her private life to worship, to church, because there's a connection. Because how you worship is going to affect how you live. Did you hear what I said? How you worship is going to affect how you live. Notice, the woman says, our fathers worship in this mountains. And ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. So this lady is confused about where should we worship. Our fathers, see, she was a Samaritan woman, and the Samaritan said that you need to worship over here in these mountains here in Samaria. The Jews said, no, you need to worship there at the temple in Jerusalem. So she's confused about where should we worship. Should we worship in the mountains over here in my tradition, my forefathers say this is we ought to worship over here, but y'all forefather, because Jesus was a Jewish man. But y'all say we ought to worship over there in Jerusalem. So I'm kind of confused. So I ain't going nowhere right now because I don't really know where to worship. That was this lady here attitude. But notice what Jesus says to this woman. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me that an hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem. Worship the Father." Notice what Jesus was saying. It ain't so much about location, woman. It's about worshiping the Father. It's about the right attitude. Notice verse 22. "Ye worship," Jesus is talking to this lady. He said, "Ye worship, ye know not what." Ye know, and then he said, "We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." So Jesus says that y'all don't really know what y'all are worshiping. But we do. The Jews do know what they are worshiping. And he said, "For salvation is of the Jews." So the Jews got this right. The Jews got this right. That's what Jesus is saying. The Samaritans, y'all are wrong. The Jews are right. But notice what Jesus says here. Because he wasn't so much trying to get her to come to Jerusalem. But notice what he says in verse 23. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is a spirit. Did you hear what I say? God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Look. What Jesus was saying is not so much about location, but it's about having the right information, revelation, that bring about a transformation in your life. It's about worshiping God, he says, in spirit. That's right attitude. You got to have the right attitude. And then he says, truth, the right information. If you got the right information and the right attitude about God, then you can worship God anywhere. It's not about location. It's about having the right information and the right attitude, the right spirit and truth. And you can worship God anywhere. You can worship God anywhere. And so that's what it should be about, my sister. It should be about worshiping God with the right information and having the right attitude. So the first problem that I see with this question, it has to do with worship. And so get your worship right. Get your worship right. Don't get into this self-worship, my sister, trying to just go out and please yourself, because it's not about you. You're trying to please God. And so whether it's a Methodist church, whether it's a Baptist church, you ought to be able to worship God anywhere. Yeah, because it's not about you. See, we want to get into songs. See, the Bible says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song." See, we want people to sing a song to us and make us happy. It's not about them, the choir singing my song. And so I'm not going to go back to a lot of times people say, "I ain't going back to that church no more." Because, you know, they won't sing my song. See, they'll sing so-and-so's song, but they won't sing my song. It ain't about them singing a song to you. That's getting into self-worship. It's about singing songs to God. The Bible says, "Sing a new song unto the Lord." Yeah. See, the Bible says in Psalms 100, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." It's not about you and you getting, you know, some songs that's going to make you feel good. We ought to be singing songs to the Lord. It's what do God think. It's not so much about what I think. And, you know, a lot of times people say, "What you think about the choir? How did the choir sing this morning?" No. We need to be asked, "What did God think about the choir?" Yeah, because it ought to be to the Lord. Amen. You know, David, when David set up the choir and stuff in the church over in the book of Chronicles, David had the choir. They were singing 24 hours a day. Now, during the nighttime, it wasn't nobody in them there at the temple. But David had them, the choir, in there singing in the temple at during midnight, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Why is that? Because they were singing unto the Lord. They weren't singing to themselves. They were singing unto the Lord. Oh, but let me move on, because I told you that was another problem that I see. The second problem that I see with this question about, you not really want to go to your future husband church because this is Methodist, is in the area of love. My question to you, sister, is do you really love this man? You say you're getting ready to marry this man. Do you really love this man? Because if you really love, I mean, you really, 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 really love this man, you need to follow this man. Because that's your husband. So, since he is a member of the Methodist Church, go to that church. You need to worship the Lord with him at that church. Y'all need to worship as a happy family at that church. Matter of fact, don't just go to that church. Don't just go there. I'm visiting his church and telling your mom and them and everybody I'm visiting his church. No, no. Go to that church and join that church. Go on over there and join. Become a good member in that church. Now, you asked me, so I'm telling you. You asked me. You said, do I have to attend his church once we get married? Now, you don't just have to attend this church. You need to become a member of this church. Yeah, I'm telling it to you straight. Amen. Amen. I ain't putting too much sugar and cream in the coffee this morning. Yeah, I'm giving you this coffee of the gospel. I'm giving it to you straight. See, marriage is about growing up, my brothers and sisters. That's what marriage is about. It's about changing. That's what marriage is about. See, I will tell anybody, if you don't want to change, don't get married. Let me say that again. I hope we got some single people out there listening this morning. If you don't want to change, if you don't want to make some changes in your life, then don't get married. Because marriage is all about changing. Matter of fact, the moment that you say, I do, at that altar, your life has changed the rest of your life. Marriage is all about changing. And it's all about growing up. Yeah, it's all about growing up. See, the Bible tells you that over in the book of Genesis. It says about, you know, leaving your father and your mother so you can cleave unto your wife or cleave unto your husband, and the two shall become one flesh. See, it's about leaving your comfort zone. Before you got married, your mama, your daddy took care of you. Now, you becoming the mama. You becoming the daddy now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, it's all about getting out of your comfort zone. See, before you was married, you was depending upon your mama and your daddy to take care of you. Now you got to depend, if you're a woman, you got to depend upon your husband to take care of you. You got to depend upon your husband to provide for you and to protect you. Yeah, yeah. See, it's all about respecting your husband's rights and worship. So you're coming up under his umbrella. You was up under your mama and your daddy umbrella of authority. Now you're coming up under your husband umbrella of authority. And so just like you respected your mom and your daddy, now you got to respect your husband. Yeah, yeah. It's about respecting his rights and his worship. And see, when you get married, it's your life in the change. I mean, you know, one of the purposes of marriage is to have babies. Well, if you have a baby, then that means you finna lose your pretty figure. Yeah, you finna lose. I mean, you finna change. If you get pregnant, 9 times out of 10, you're gonna gain a lot of weight. You're gonna experience pain when you get ready to have the baby. Then when the baby come home, you got to get up in the middle of the night and change the baby, feed the baby. I mean, this baby going to take you through a lot of changes. You got to go through a lot of changes. Then getting the kids ready for school, ready for church, ready for the ball game, sporting events. I mean, it's just going to be a lot of changes. Now, why do a good mama go through all these changes with her family? It's because she love her family. See, when you love somebody, you seek the highest good. See, love is not about getting what I want. Love is about seeking to give that other person what they want. See, love is other person-centered. See, even if it means you got to make a lot of sacrifice, you willing to make a lot of sacrifices when you love somebody. See, why do a mother take her son to the ball game, baseball game, and sit out there in the hot sun, the hot weather, watching a slow baseball game? I mean, baseball game take 2-3 hours. Or why do a mama like to go to a football game and sit out there in the cold and the rain and stuff and watch her son play football? It's because she loves her son and she wants the best for her son, because she realized that that sports will help her child develop some discipline and some character. So you do all of those things like that because you love your child in the same way. In the same way, because you love your husband, you're willing to change for your husband, and you're willing to follow your husband. See, you don't want to make the mistakes that a lot of wives make. A lot of wives, they don't like their husband church. They complain about their husband church, so the husband get tired of hearing them complain about their church. So the husband, he try to satisfy his wife by going to his wife's church, but he don't really like his wife's church. So guess what? The husband quit going to church and he drops out of church altogether. So he don't go back to his church because the wife complained. He don't go to her church because he don't really like her church. So he just drop out of church. Listen, if it means you gotta go to a church that you really don't like in order to keep your husband in church, go on and do that. Do that, because it's important, wife, that you set the right example for your children. And it's important that your children see their daddy in church. It's important that children see a man in church and a wife following her husband in church. That's the model. Remember when Isaac was looking for a wife and found Rebekah? Her father asked, "Will thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." That's over in Genesis chapter 24. Matter of fact, read Genesis chapter 24 and look at Rebekah. So if you love this man, the bottom line, if you love this man, go ahead and follow this man to that Methodist church. All right, look like the clock on the wall is saying that's going to be all today in the Situation Room. Thank you so kindly for joining us today in the Situation Room. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here, KLITB, is at the top of the hour, we minister in the word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That means music and a whole lot more. So at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book. 10 o'clock, Unshackled. 11 o'clock, a deeper look in the book. And 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, we begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.